Father, we thank you. We thank you for the newness in Jack's life and in Claire's life. And it's newness because Jesus Christ lives in them through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is power in the blood, as we just sang, and that power is the cleansing of our sins to make us new, to make us new creations in you. And Lord, now as we open up your word to what it has to say to us today, Lord, help us to come with open hearts, hearts that allows the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to move us, to change us, and to make us become the followers of Jesus Christ that we have been called to be. Lord, may you be glorified now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, around the year 1983, Debbie and I attended a Christian conference during my seminary days in Fort Worth, Texas. The conference covered, over the period of a few days, many different topics along the way. But there was one point during the conference where the leader gave his surefire principles on the godly way to raise children. Now, there was a problem in this. First off, he was in his 40s. Now, that's not the problem, okay? But he was in his 40s, and he never had children. He was in his 40s, and he never had children, and he's never been married. But there's one more on this. He's in his 40s, he's never had children, he's never been married, and he still lived with his parents. He had great theory, but he had no real life experience to base those principles upon. Well, we've been trying to understand in greater depths what it really means to be a life on mission. And all Christians, not just a few, all Christians are called, according to Scripture, to be a missionary wherever we are. You don't have to go to a foreign land. You don't have to go to Peru. You can be a missionary right here in Bel Air or Abington or Aberdeen or any of the other towns around. Wherever you are and wherever you go, we are called to be missionaries. We've looked so far at different parts of this in life on mission. We started off by looking at Connect. Well, let me tell you something that Debbie and I are throwing around as far as connecting with our neighborhood. Of course, a lot of it depends upon her. We have the new neighborhood we moved into, we have 12 other houses besides our own. And we're looking, at least I'm looking at for her to do this, is to get 12 of those clear ball Christmas ornaments. And of course, she's an artist, and to paint each one of their houses on each Christmas ball and deliver it to them. I can do the delivery. I let her do the painting. I deliver it because they don't want my painting. But just think what a connection point that will make to people that we don't know yet. And you can do things too. You don't have to be an artist. You can do things too to make connections. But then we talked about serving others. When you serve other people, it opens up doors to have conversations with them, to get to real life situations with them. And then when you are able to serve, it opens up that door to be able to share about Jesus Christ. And maybe it's sharing how if you've had trouble with your kids and they've had trouble with their kids, and you can share how Jesus has helped you as you've dealt with different situations in life with your kids. Well, once we make that decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ until the day this life ends upon this earth, we are in a constant growth mode. Our life on mission is to grow to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what I want us to look at are the growth principles that are found in the Scriptures. The man that led that Christian conference has some great principles on parenting, but he never lived them out. He never lived them out. And we must live out the growth principles that the Scriptures have for us as we live a life on mission. So our passage of Scripture this morning is Colossians 2, beginning with verse 6 through verse 8. And we find in Scriptures it says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Well, let's take the next few minutes and look at some growth principles that are found in this passage. And this passage opens up with the statement, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord." See, growth means lordship. It means lordship. Somehow, I'm afraid, Christianity has this dual mindset going on now. It's like you could have two different type of Christians or something. There are those who said, well, I asked Jesus into my heart. My sins are now forgiven. And then they go on living life as if nothing has changed whatsoever. Well, that could be further from the truth of when you become a follower of Jesus. Everything is supposed to change. That kind of person, though, reminds me of a young couple who comes to visit the pastor to talk about getting married. And they come in, they say, we want to get married. But the real question for them is, do you want to be married? Do you want to be married? See, getting married is easy. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff leading up to the wedding. Been there already with a daughter, a lot of stuff. But let's face it, it leads to that one day, and then that part is over with. That's the easy part. The hard part is what happens after that. Being married, staying married, sometimes is not so easy. Some people act like they want to get enough Jesus, though, to inoculate themselves from hell. But Jesus said, you don't get me. You don't get me. You must be mine. You must be mine. Jesus owns you and me. We don't own Jesus. Our scripture says we receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Lord is not just some unimportant word that's attached to the end of the term Christ Jesus. Lord is who he is. You cannot receive Jesus as not my Lord. It doesn't work that way. To follow means to fully trust him and to turn your whole life over to him. He is Lord. He must be Lord of your life. There's no room for any other Lord. Not your family, not your church, not your work, not your recreation, not your finances. We are to have no other God in our lives. And when Jesus is not Lord, we'll end up making something else Lord in our lives. It may be ourselves. It may be someone else. Because see, God created us in this way that we have this void within. It's like we have this hole here within us. And it only can be filled by Jesus Christ. We try to cram all sorts of other things there to make him Lord of life. And none of them ever fit. Only Jesus can fill that void, can be Lord. Every aspect of our life falls under his lordship. And here's the catch. When Jesus is Lord, all those other areas of life are better off. When he is Lord, your family, your church, your work, your recreation, your finances, all of those are better off when you are subservient to the life of the lordship of Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and your marriage is struggling, if you want a better marriage, make Jesus Lord. Make him Lord of your life. If you're having problems as a parent, make Jesus Lord of your life. If you want better relationships with people, make Jesus Lord of your life. You know, Billy Graham, I'm not finishing the sermon now, even though I'm coming down here, so I know that's a cue for you to pack up your stuff, but that's not it this time. At the end of a lot of Billy Graham's crusades, he would ask the question, what are you going to do with this Jesus? What are you going to do with this Jesus? And that's my question for you. What are you going to do with this Jesus? Are you still going to just keep playing games with him? Are you going to truly have him be Lord of your life and to take charge of all areas of your life? Or maybe you have never received his forgiveness. You've never made that decision to Let him cleanse you and make you new. You've never come to that point where you admitted that you've sinned in your life, that you admitted that sin, no matter how big or how large it may, how big or how small it may be. You know, Scripture says that any sin we do is against God. We may think it's against other people, but he said it's against God. And we need to admit to him we're sin, and then we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. And then we understand that he is the Son of God, and he died on purpose so that we can have eternal life, and we can have a life with him now, and then we commit to following him. We confess our sins, we confess that he is now Lord, and we commit ourselves to following him. What are you going to do with this Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Because see, without his lordship, you will constantly fall. Because in his place, you'll try to set up so many other things as Lord. Without his lordship, we're not living a true life on mission. People only see a fake Jesus. They don't see a real Jesus who lives in us. As our Lord, we are then told this afterwards, though. We're told, walk in him. Walk in him. And that's because growth means discipleship. Discipleship is not taking a couple of courses and then saying, now I'm a disciple. Discipleship is not Sunday school class or small groups. Discipleship is not your morning quiet time. Discipleship is not coming to worship. Discipleship is not giving your money. These are all just small pieces that make up the whole called discipleship. Because see, discipleship's a lifestyle. It's your daily walk with Jesus. Discipleship never ends during this life. It means we are lifelong students. There are no graduates as long as you're alive in this world. You don't graduate till you go to the next life. As long as you're in this life, we are constant learners. It means we are followers, followers of the Jesus path. But to walk in Jesus means you're becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Well, that also means you cannot go it alone. Believe me, none of us can become more and more like Jesus Christ on our own. Let me give you an illustration that's in the book, Life on Mission, because I like it so much. It says, discipleship is like a sailboat, not like a motorboat. Because in a motorboat, I'm in control. I start the engine, I control the speed, and I go wherever I want. But with a sailboat, now I'm not passive, because I do need to hoist the sails. I do need to steer the rudder, but I am absolutely, positively, totally dependent upon the wind. If the wind does not blow in my sails, I sit still. Ultimately, I'm not in control. Well, in the New Testament and the Old Testament both, the word for wind is also translated as spirit. The Holy Spirit is the wind that blows in our sails, that blows in our life. The Holy Spirit blows into our lives to help us grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. Are your sails of discipleship up and ready to receive his power, or are you trying to be a motorboat for God? Oh, there's too many Christians trying to be a motorboat. Too many of us trying to be a motorboat. We think if we do all these good things that God's going to be pleased with us and happy with us, or we see people do good things and we pat them on the back and you know, talk about what a glorious person they must be. And I'm not putting down doing good things. We should be doing good things. But are we doing it for the right reason? Are we doing it because we're a motorboat trying to do everything for God? Are we being the sailboat letting God direct us in the good things that we are to be doing for him? Life on missions is about letting God's wind blow in our lives, his spirit blow in our lives and direct us. As we walk in him, we're also told in that verse that we are to be rooted. This is because growth means drawing deep. drawing deep. Roots help the plant to draw nourishment up, and that nourishment might be water, it might be nutrients. Roots give the plant the strength that it needs when the sun is burning down on it, in the heat of the day. Roots give it stability when strong winds blow across the plant. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Our roots must grow deep into him, into Christ. We become what we draw deeply from. Think about that. We become what we draw from. And if our roots are based on worldly desires and worldly things, we're going to look just like the world. We're going to look like the world. But if we draw deeply from Jesus, we'll grow more and more to be like Jesus. We draw his spiritual nourishment into our hearts and lives. Our roots also give us strength to withstand the heat of life when it comes our way, the negative winds that blow against us. When bad situations occur, we stand in Christ because our roots are down deep in him. When oppression comes, our heads stay above the fray because of our roots. But the scripture says we're not only rooted, but we're also to be built up in him and established in the faith. That's because growth means continual process. And I've alluded to this already. The verb tense here is being built up. In other words, a continual process that does not end. Being built up. Now, also, as we look at this sometime, and some of the translations look more like the construction of a building, but we started out with roots. We're talking about a plant. A plant, and the description here is of a growing plant that comes from the roots. As we draw deeply from God, it helps us to build our lives, to grow, to be like him. But it's a continual process. And it's so that the plant gets bigger, so our lives get bigger in Christ. That nourishment that is drawn in from our roots, from Christ himself, needs to go somewhere. We're just not bringing in the spiritual things of Christ so that they just kind of sit right there. It helps us to grow. We change, and we see life in a different way because we grow in him. We become built up. But we're built up and established in the faith. Established in the faith. That means the truths of Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. That's the roots of it. It's the very truths that Jesus, yes, is the Savior. Actually, the word Jesus means Savior. He is the Christ. He is the promised one of God. He is Lord. And nothing else should be Lord of our lives. Your growth is vital in understanding who Jesus is and why your faith must be built and established in him. I mean, I look back over my life. My understanding of who Jesus is has changed as I've grown. Of course, it's definitely changed since I was a child when I was baptized and I came to Christ. That has changed, has grown in that way. But I look back even over the last 3-4 years and my knowledge, my understanding of who Jesus is has grown in that time, and it should be for all of us. When living a life on mission, you realize people cannot see your roots. They don't see your roots, but they see what you have become from those roots. How you've built up. When you begin to catch what a marvelous thing, okay, that it is to grow in Jesus Christ, you'll understand the next part, and that is growth means overflowing thanksgiving. The verse says abounding in thanksgiving. And it's not just overflowing, but it's overflowing with absolute thankfulness. But there's something important here that I want you to pick up on. The words that we just saw, rooted, built up, and established, were written by the Apostle Paul in what's called the passive voice. Now, for you non-English majors, which I'm one, passive voice means It's something that is being done to you. It's being done to you. When we get serious about the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, God roots us. God builds us up. God establishes us. Oh yes, we open ourselves up to things like Bible study and prayer and worship and things like that. But the actual rooting and building and establishing is done by God through the Holy Spirit. And the question is, are your sails up? Are your sails up on your sailboat to catch the wind of God, to catch the Spirit? Yes, you have to raise the sails. Yes, you have to steer the rudder. That's your part in it. But to be truly rooted and built up and established, it's the Spirit doing it. I say all that because the next part, abounding or overflowing, is that what's known as in the active voice. In other words, it means what you do. It is our growth response back to God. God roots us, God builds us, God establishes us, and then as we grow, we get to respond. And because of all that He has done in our lives, we then overflow with thanksgiving. We overflow in our commitment to Christ. We overflow in our actions and our words with others. But ultimately, it comes down to this last piece. Growth means change. The last verse again in Colossians 2 that I read. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now let's face it. Our human nature resists change, doesn't it? We resist change. Our human nature says, follow the crowd, take the easy route. Our human nature says, just do the same old thing over and over again. Our human nature says, control instead of trust and faith. Our human nature says, comfort instead of discomfort. Paul warned in this verse, he says that there's worldly things going on that's going to try the human traditions and customs on believers, even within the church, that's going to drive these traditions in such a way that we don't want to change. And if we look like the world, or we cling to human traditions, even if they're from God, but we cling to them so much, your life of mission will not occur. Actually, you might keep others from growing in Jesus Christ. You might keep others from growing in Jesus Christ. Let me give you an illustration of something that occurred to Debbie and I recently. We were driving up to Lancaster. Ahead of us was a lady driving a car with California license plates. And you'll understand why I know she had California license plates in just a moment. We were in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. She was doing 40. She's doing 40. So for quite a while, we're in this no-passing zone. And so I'm right behind her. I'm wanting to do 55. She's doing 40. Then finally, there's glory land up ahead. I see dashed lines on the road. I see these dashed lines, and I'm going, okay, here we go. No car is coming the opposite way. It's open for me to go. So we get to the dashed lines. I pull over into the passing lane. I start speeding up, and so does she. And she's doing beyond 55 mile an hour. And then she gets to the end of the dashed lines, to the no passing zone, and immediately slows down to 40. So I'm going, okay, maybe this is a one-time shot. Actually, I'm boiling on the inside, but that's a different story. So this time, we finally get to another passing zone. We get there, and so I'm saying, okay, hopefully she's not going to try this stunt again. And so we get there, and I pull over to go and pass her. Not only does she speed up this time, she gets into the passing lane to block me. And so finally, we get to a place where she turns off this way and I turned off that way. But see, some Christians are like that driver. They're like that driver. They're so comfortable in how they see life and their religious traditions that they literally block other Christians from growing, or they block non-Christians from coming to Christ. They don't want change. And so they steer into the passing lane of life and block others from experiencing growth. But what we got to understand is that God has maybe set a different pattern of growth for that other person. God doesn't make us all identical. We're all different, and there's different ways that we grow in the Lord. Their way may be a totally different way of growing than our way. Maybe it's something we do, like bad-mouthing small groups when we think Sunday school is the way out. Or maybe it's we're in small groups and we bad-mouth Sunday school and the way that's done. Well, I hate to tell you, but God didn't hand either one of those down to Moses at the mountain, you know, at the Ten Commandments. Or maybe it's this whole style of music thing again. You know, the traditionalists don't like the contemporary music, and the contemporary don't like the traditional music. Well, I can tell you there's more than that out there. There's also something called cowboy church. Now, I don't know if there's any in Maryland. I know there's some in Virginia, and I know there's plenty in Texas. We attended a cowboy church one time service. And, you know, the music's going to be a little bit different there. The cowboy boots in and the hats and sitting on hay bales and all sorts of stuff. Who's right? Who's wrong? Some people like Southern gospel. Others don't like Southern gospel. You know, God created music. And he used different ways to speak to our hearts. But when we put down other people's way of worshiping God and ways of connecting with God in worship, when we do that, we're acting like the lady who's pulling over in the lane and insisting, "You're going my speed. You're not going the speed you want to go." Now, I know some of you cringe every time I mention the word change. I got that. Every time I mention change, you get a knot in your stomach's down here, isn't it? You get a knot in your stomach, maybe you get one in your heart. You get a knot. And is it because I want you to be uncomfortable? Yes. Yes. I want you to be uncomfortable. What do I mean? The Bible is crystal clear that our lives as followers of Jesus Christ is constant change, which means constantly moving out of our comfort zones, because as long as you're in your comfort zone, you don't grow. You only grow, you only stretch when you move out of your comfort zone and you stop blocking others when they want to grow different than you do. Now, I'm not talking about here a change of the gospel. That's not it. The gospel stays the same. The message of Jesus Christ stays the same. But God's a pretty creative God. God's pretty creative. He uses different ways to move us in our lives. What affects me may not bother you at all. What affects you might not affect me at all. God's a pretty creative God. To stay locked, though, in our human religious traditions and human philosophy and say that's the only way, it's got to be that way, is really deceptive, and Satan wants us deceived. He wants you to remain in traditions and force it upon others so they can't grow. And as long as you're stuck there, you're not going to honor God with your growth. And as long as you stay stuck there, you may be blocking someone else from their growth. They may be needing to go 55 in life, and you're trying to keep them at 40. So yes, I want to create this great discomfort in you because it's biblical. And I want you to grow in Jesus Christ. I want you to stop depending upon yourself. I want you to get your sails up and have the Holy Spirit's wind blow in your life instead of depending upon the traditions and the religious laws. I want Jesus to be your Lord, and that means change every day of every year of your life. When people see you, they see Jesus in you. That's what they're supposed to see. And that's life on mission. There's a wall on the main entrance of the Alamo in Texas where there's a portrait that has the following inscription underneath the portrait. It says, James Butler Bonham, no picture of him exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembles his uncle. It is placed here by the family that the people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. Well, there's no actual picture of James Butler Bonham, and so his family decided to put the nephew's picture up because he looked so much like his uncle. Well, there's no literal picture of Jesus Christ. That's because you're supposed to be his representation. We're supposed to be his representation, and your life on mission is for people to know about the man who died for your freedom of sin and their freedom of sin. But you're changed to resemble him. That's what it's about, changing to resemble Jesus more and more. But it takes living out the growth principles. It takes living for and in and through Jesus. It means you are no longer on your heart's throne. Jesus is Lord. Go and grow your life on mission, and in return, help others to grow in that mission. And don't block their lane. Let them flow in the way God has called them to flow. So I want to ask the same question that I asked in the middle. What are you going to do with this Jesus? What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with him this morning in your life? Maybe you're at the point and you're holding something back from him. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, but you got this little corner, this little closet that you keep closed away from God and say, God, you can have everything else but that little corner. That's kind of mine. That's the stuff that I don't want you to bother with. And God's saying, no, you got to give me your all. And maybe this is the morning to turn over that corner, that closet, over to God. Or maybe this morning you're here and you've never really ask Jesus Christ into your heart to change you. Maybe you've never come to that decision where you admit that you are a sinner and that you ask God for forgiveness and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and that he paid your penalty on the cross for your sins. And now you just need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead and commit your life to following him now. Or maybe some other prayer concern. Pastor Mike and I will be up here in just a moment, and you can come and pray with us. Pray with, be seated. But don't go another day without making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Don't go another day without giving your life to Jesus Christ. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, I thank you now for this time of commitment. I pray that you work in hearts and lives, that we all have to answer that question, what are we going to do with this person, Jesus? What are we going to do with him? How are we going to react to him? Are we going to believe that he is exactly who he said he is? Or do we think he was just some liar or crazy person? We have to come to the conclusion, just who is this Jesus? And I pray that you will just work in hearts and lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide us now in this time of commitment. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified through it all. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.